Matt and Alex
on Triple J.
Here we are again in our podcast. Again, we're going to talk to you.
Yep.
And by talk to you, I mean, technically, we're talking to the audience who don't download the podcast and you get to hear what was said on the show. But I think if you listen closely, attentively, and sensually, you'll hear us actually doing a podcast to you. People just happen to be listening live.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've probably been guided here by a friend, someone who loves you, someone who wants you to experience the beginning of something special.
And today on the show, something special happened.
We got to see the incarnation, the birth of an Aussie legend.
And it's so good that 19 years on to the day, we can celebrate a young boy winning some rugs.
Taking home the Persians, putting them on the floor and just digging his toes in.
Exactly. So you get to hear the birth of Rugsy, as he's now known to a generation. Also Lisa Mitchell popped by. She's a darling. How about that?
Absolute legend. Really, really, really great stuff.
What a gun. She was hanging out, playing new music from her. So you get to hear what she's been up to. And I told everyone about one of the more awkward kiss attempts I've been involved in after Tony Jones, the Channel 9 variety, went for the old pursed lips himself. Went for the purse snatch.
Ooh.
Tried to snatch a purse. And came up empty-handed.
Yeah, you're going to want to unwrinkle yourself after this one because the cringe is hard.
So, and it's all good and in order, and I guess we'll catch you very soon.
Bye.
Oh, Dribble J, we kicked off with the Amity Affliction, This Could Be Heartbreak, and just there, Tame Impala with Endor Toi. Matt and Alex with you. It's 12 minutes past 7.
Oh, I wouldn't have picked that up. I would have said Endor's toy.
No, Endor Toi.
I don't know.
Kevin Parker spent a bit of time in France. He's written music and stuff, so I'm sure that's where it came from.
I hope you're well, Matt and Alex, kicking about on this Tuesday morning. It's 12 minutes past 7. Ray Johnson's here as well. Hello.
Hello.
Gizmodo journalist, gamer as well. So you got a bit of an insight into things. Also, pretty jealous you got to see the Suicide Squad movie last night. Much hyped. Trailers getting lots of views.
I did. I did get to see it. I can't say anything about it, though, because there's a global embargo. So right. I'm just going to have to make facial expressions at the two of you.
All right.
And everyone listening can just guess.
Well, go for it. Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh, that did not happen.
Goodness me.
Mm.
I can see why it got that rating as well.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, let's move on to other things you're here for. First and foremost, I want to know, I mean, we had an election not that long ago. The Nick Xenophon Party doing very well in South Australia. But it could be because Nick Xenophon getting into gaming. I mean, he's connecting with the kiddies.
In a sense, you could possibly say that. Look, Nick Xenophon's come out and said that he's concerned about first-person shooters training up children for gambling.
There seems to be a jump there that I've missed.
Just want to dissect that statement for a moment there. First of all, children... follow the rating system, parents. First-person shooters aren't really for kids. Second of all, there's no elements in first-person shooters at all that train you up for gambling. What we're actually talking about here is Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Right.
When you pick up skins, when you pick up like in-game bonuses, you can take those out of the game and trade them. And there's been websites set up by third parties who are trading, selling these skins, and there's gambling involved in it. Now, this is something that the developers behind Counter-Strike have been taking action against. They've been issuing letters for people to shut these things down. But Nick Xenophon wants regulation.
Okay.
And I think that that's because it's very scant on details at the moment. But, I mean, when we're looking at things like gambling that you see advertised on radio and television, you know, there's warnings in place, there's certain, you know, frameworks around it. There's nothing like that that exists for these sorts of sites on the internet. So something like that would kind of be useful, going, hey, this is gambling. You should be aware of this.
Yeah, but, I mean, I get invited to play the slots on Facebook
exactly.
all the time. That's yep. That seems to be a more present right? and immediate problem than having to buy skins and trade them on some third-party site.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a bit more of a complex situation and, as you said, not as much of a threat, I don't think, at all.
Well, I remember going on the internet, you know, the phone line not used as we were dialing up here at the school and playing Neopets, right? It was the online Tamagotchi, basically, and they
yeah.
had many different sections, one of which was playing games. You could play the slot machines and stuff and play cards and cheat and poker, and then they had the share market as well.
Yep.
I mean, it's all Neo points rather than Australian dollars, but I don't know, it's gambling in a sense
yeah.
as well.
Oh, look, what we really need here is some clarification as to what he means, because it's really vague, and bringing video games into, you know, the gambling kind of legislation, we need to be clear what we're talking about, because it can have pretty wide ramifications. It can affect games that have got in-app purchases on mobile. Like, we really need to nut this down, and it needs to be in conjunction with the gaming industry and the games community, really, so that it's understood a bit better. So politicians, talk to gamers before you spout your mouth about things.
For sure. All right, we're going to play some Remy in the meantime here, Ray. Up next, I want you to tell us about the new consoles. Get very excited when a new one comes out.
Yeah.
Check out the graphics, you know, the different features that it has. And Nintendo is about to launch a new one, and their last one was a little bit of a dud.
Well, I mean, they changed the game with the Wii. They really went sort of, you know, out of the controller into the lounge room.
Exactly.
What will they do for this one?
All right, we'll find out how it goes. Here is Remy with Substance Therapy, 16 past 7. On Triple J, Remy with Substance Therapy at 20 minutes past 7. I'm Alex, that is Matt, and with us is Ray Johnson, talking games on Triple J Breakfast this morning. And we were mentioning before, Ray, Nick Xenophon delving into gaming policy, a very popular first-person shooter called Counter-Strike, a global offensive, has got different things you can download for money, and then there's other websites have started a bit of a trading post type of thing where you can exchange them, potentially gamble on winning a few things
yeah.
for your particular avatar in the game. And it's become a bit of an industry, so I guess that's why it gets on Australian politicians' radar.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty huge industry. There were figures that came out that in 2016 alone there was $5 billion spent on trading these
Sorry.
Items and gambling.
On Counter-Strike skins.
On these types of items, yeah, this actual type of thing, these
character to have a different costume in the game.
Yeah,
$25.
And guns and all that sort of thing, yeah.
Okay, so his skin is basically all just the different.
Well, it ranges from costing a couple of cents to a couple of $100. So, yeah, there are some people out there that are spending a lot of money on this, and there isn't any regulation around it. It is totally unregulated.
Well, Dykey has sent us a text. We've got him up from Gippsland in Victoria, and you've actually experienced a fair bit of this, Dykey. Can you tell us your story?
I've dealt a fair bit with gambling on skins, and they actually range from a lot more than $100. Some of these skins can be worth upwards of $5,000 for a single in-game item.
So when you say gambling, how are you actually gambling it?
Well, there is a few different ways to do it. And there's a standard, your normal way to gamble. You can gamble on professional matches because Counter-Strike is actually a sport that's played professional esport.
Sure.
So you can gamble on them, which isn't really the big issue. The other issue is there's these other sites called jackpot sites. And the way they work is people deposit their items that are all worth monetary values, and everyone all deposits their items until the pot is full, and basically the higher value of items you've put in, the higher chance you have of winning that jackpot.
So you put
and
in
randomly allocated to one person who puts items in.
Yeah, you do it on this on these websites that are they're all very, very shady websites, by the way. And all these people just put in these, their skins. They're all worth money. And then they'll randomly select the winner.
So how much money would you have won or lost doing these virtual auctions, Dykey, or jackpots?
Okay, one time I won a single skin that was worth $570.
How much have you spent on it all?
I don't know. I've put in a fair bit of money over the time and taken out a fair bit of money over the time.
Are you currently up or down?
I'd probably be down a little bit, but like I've still got a
how
bunch
much
of
is a little
in
bit?
The game.
How much is a little bit, Dykey?
Oh, maybe probably a couple hundred dollars.
Okay.
Fair enough. Well, interesting to see, learn about it, Dykey. Thank you very much for chatting to
us. Thanks, Dykey.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, there it is, an industry that's going on
Alex
as we live, Ray Johnson.
It is, but yeah, I still think it's a bit of a stretch to say that first-person shooters are training kids to gamble. This is obviously an unauthorized offshoot of the game, and it is something that the developers are actively trying to stop. I'm not sure that they can stop a $5 billion industry.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Now.
Let's move on.
Let's get on to the big topic. All right, because I was walking around the streets of Tokyo, saw many a sign for the new PlayStation VR console coming out. It seems to be that time in the cycle where all of the consoles, they're having the new ones about to happen.
There is a bit of conversation happening about all of the upgrades to the current big major consoles. We're looking at all the major technical improvements that are happening to a bunch of them. And Nintendo, of course, rumoured, very, very solid rumours though, which is the only reason I'm talking about them, to be going in a totally different direction, which is unsurprising because that's kind of what Nintendo does.
The GameCube didn't hit really, but they came back with the Wii, people where you can move the remotes around. It suddenly added a whole new element to gaming.
Right.
They then tried to go with the Wii U, which is sort of like holding an iPad controller, didn't really take off.
Well, you might be pleased to know, or may not be, that the latest one is rumoured to be a bit of a combination of the two. What they're looking at doing is a portable console that can also be used in the home. I think what Nintendo's realising is that, if you look at the home consoles, it's pretty hit and miss. They can't really guarantee anything. When you look at Game Boys, though, every single one's a hit.
Right.
Like, they've always been successful in the handheld market with the 3DS, with the DS. That's where their player base is. So I think they're recognising this by going, okay, let's look after them first and then just have, like, a docking station at home so that you can play it on the big screen.
Have you seen any prototypes for this? Because in my head already it seems too big, too clumsy.
It looks a bit Frankenstein's monster of game consoles with a couple of Wii controllers jammed on the side.
You can't be on the International Space Station.
You're not going to be on the train with two Wii consoles and a big old chunky screen.
Well, this is it. I think that people are trying to make the argument that, hey, but people use tablets, but even those are really on the decline. Like, we're not going to want to carry around something this chunky. So I'm hoping they kind of revise that plan.
I mean, at least, a Game Boy could fit in your pocket.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
If you're going to have to carry it in a bag, forget about it.
And then, of course, we've always got the same problem as we do with Nintendo, which is the graphics just aren't going to be
there. What is going on with Nintendo? Why can they not? Forever, since the dawn of time, they cannot keep up with the technology. They just do something completely different.
They don't have to. They've got nostalgia.
Oh.
They can throw out a Mario. They can throw out a Pokemon. They can throw out a Donkey Kong, and we're all going to run and buy it.
All right. Well, Ray Johnson, thank you very much for giving an insight once again. We'll catch you later. We've got some news headlines up next as well with Kat McGann. Let's go to our feature album.
Check it out, everybody.
The Triple J feature album.
Hello, I am Montaigne, and my album Glorious Heights is feature album on Triple J this week. This song, Come Back to Me, was written autobiographically, but I now also conceptualize it as this, like, creepy narrative about a person who uses piety as a proof of their goodness and hence thinks it's justifiable to do abusive things as it's in the name of religion or of love. My favorite part of the song, there's this looped piano in the choruses that Tony played like a short 1.5 second sort of riff of, and then just chopped it up and lined it up against itself, and it sounds really cool. And I'm also a really big fan of my vocals in the bridge. Like, while I was singing, I was like, damn, I'm nailing this. So, it was just really satisfying, and I'm a fan. So, yeah, this is actually probably one of my favorite songs in the album. I am a slave to God.
On Triple J, that is Safia with Over You. We kicked off with Brimful of Asha by Corner Shop. Talking about the ash.
Yeah.
Over Bali.
Everyone needs a bosom for a pillow.
We all know this.
And everyone needs a prize that's a rug. And that's what we move on to on this Tuesday morning.
Now stick with us, because we do have brand new music from Lisa Mitchell. It's quite exciting time. It's been a couple of years since she's released a brand new track. You're going to be hearing that for the very first time today. It is also a momentous day, because 19 years ago today, we are celebrating the fact that on the 2nd of August, David Ruggsy Ruggs was a young strapping lad of just 13 years old, Matt O'Kine.
Got the opportunity to be on Hey Hey It's Saturday.
Now this, if
one
you're
of
not
Australia's
familiar.
Favourite shows.
Saturday night, everyone tuned in to see Daryl Summers, to see Ozzy Ostrich, to see Dickie Knee.
To see our good friend Red Simons gong that gong.
And also the Australian larrikin, Pluck a Duck. go about their business. Now, this was a very special episode because they were out at a school in Canberra. And
I mean,
we found out about the story, Matt, last week when we were doing talk back on when have you been a winner, but it's also turned you into a loser.
That's right. When is winning made you a loser? And we couldn't help but look past at the very last moment one of our favourite texts that came in. Dave, sorry, this is so not even funny, but Dave from Canberra says, I won $3,000 worth of rugs on Hey Hey It's Saturday when I was 13. I was forever known as Rugs. Oh, I don't know why I'm laughing so much at that. Shout out to you, Rugs. Anyways,
Rugsy. Yeah. Texting us in. Thank you, Ruby.
There's something a 13-year-old needs and wants. It's rugs.
Well, it turned out a 13-year-old did need or want rugs, because we got Ryan from Wollongong on the phone on Friday. We tried to track down Rugsy, and people got in touch. I know Rugsy.
Yeah, Ryan.
I was at school when the Rugsy myth began. Ryan gave us a call and, tell you what, blew our minds.
We were advised at an assembly, a school assembly, so the whole school knew this was happening. And he was either on Hey Hey Saturday, pre-recorded, or it was coming up.
Yep.
So we've all tuned in on Saturday night. And so, yeah, we're all watching him. And then he's won the first part of Pluck a Duck. He's won.
Oh, he's a Pluck a Duck. Yeah. Yes! Yes!
He won $2,000 worth of car stereo.
Nice. Good for his 13-year-old, driving.
So then they've offered him, okay, would you like to pluck a duck? So he's plucked a duck.
He's plucked a duck.
Okay. And you would, wouldn't you? You would. I mean, even if you won anything other than the car, you'd have to consider plucking a duck.
Yeah, so he's gone and plucked a duck. And look, we've tried to find footage on the 19th anniversary of this. Now, Hey Hey It's Saturday ran on television for 27 years. About 40 episodes a year. That's a lot of eps to try and find David Ruggsy Ruggs. The good news is, people of Australia, we have tracked down that episode. And up next, you will be hearing the moments where a man became a legend and became the rug. Matt and Alex are with you. Hope your Tuesday is going well. Hope the 19th anniversary of the great man David Ruggsy Ruggs is treating you nicely.
19 years ago, on this day, 1997, 2nd of August,
a 13-year-old boy was on television. It was a long-running series, Hey Hey It's Saturday. He was plucked from obscurity, literally, to spin a big wheel. In order to win a prize on the particular show hosted by Daryl Summers, who younger listeners may know as the host of
some terrible hypnosis show.
You're back in the room?
I can't remember.
Anyway, We found out about him last week, how he won some rugs, and we've finally tracked down the episode in which it happened. Now, you're going to be hearing a couple of bits of audio here. We're going to try and talk you through exactly what is going on.
Now, you've got to put yourself in back to 1997 here. I mean, we're talking it's Saturday. A show doesn't last for 27 years by not being one of the most loved shows on Australian TV. I mean, it legitimately, as a 10-year-old, as I was around about this time, it would be the highlight of your Saturday night.
And we're talking a pre-millennium bug world, so optimism was high, and we considered entertainment a man in a duck costume running around a Canberra school. Now, that is exactly what was happening in this particular episode. They were filming off location in Canberra in a school gym, and Plucker Duck, the aforementioned fake duck, was playing basketball with the kids. And they'd all set up a big wheel there, and the roving host introduced a 13-year-old by the name of David.
This is David from Blaxland in New South Wales. How are you doing?
Good.
Been down here all day. You've been in the footy. You're here tonight. Bit of a basketball fan.
Yeah.
You ready to win some great prizes? What do you want to win?
The car.
All right, well, we might give you the car.
Now, little did he know, David was only going to be known by David for about 20 more minutes because things were about to change, and it changed by spinning a wheel. It had 30 or so prizes on it.
Yeah.
You could win cruisers, you could win mowers, you could win
Pentium 486s
with 28 megabytes of RAM.
28, mate. Dream on.
Now, what he actually did was win something different. And then once you won something, you had the option to either accept that prize or go for something bigger. And to do that, you had to pluck a duck.
Number 10. I can tell you how much number 10 is.
It's the Strathfield Car Radio Prize.
Yes, and it's worth $1,900. Sorry, John.
Yeah, $1,900.
Thank you. So, David,
Do you want to keep that, David, or do you want to pluck a duck?
I'll pluck a duck.
Now, here's where things got interesting.
A decision that he would possibly come to regret.
Now, to pluck a duck, Red Simons got on a mechanical bicycle, spun a carousel with about 30 toy ducks
hanging off them, and Wilbur Wilde then did the honours of grabbing, or should we say plucking, said duck.
I just realised how dumb this whole thing was.
The audience, did you hear the audience? The calls were coming. As soon as he found out the first prize, someone in the backyard, pluck the duck! Pluck a duck! He couldn't turn against the crowd. He had to go with it.
So David plucked a duck and he won $2,000 worth of rugs from the rug warehouse. Now, being a youngster, people assumed that David would be interested in taking home the original prize of the electronics. David broke convention. He blew minds by doing this.
Just what you've always wanted, David, yes. From Rugs Galore, the largest rug retailer in Australia. A $2,000 selection of quality hand and machine-made rugs and hall runners from around the world. Your mum's going to love you.
And listen, David, I think it's only fair. Would you rather have the Kenwood prize?
Would you rather have the Kenwood prize?
No.
Yeah, go to the stereo, man. Go to the stereo.
Yeah.
Come on.
You want the rugs?
He wants the rugs.
Yeah. Okay. He doesn't have any carpet at home.
You can hear the host going, come on, man. Take the stereo. Take the stereo, man.
And he did something gallant that day, ladies and gentlemen. Something that I wish we all had the courage to do. And that's take the rugs. I think there's something we could reflect on this 19th anniversary of David Rugsy Rugs' appearance on Hey Hey It's Saturday in 1997. And that's when life is promising big things, you know, cars, Kenwood audio equipment. Just take a look at your own house and say yes. I'll take the rugs.
This goes out to David Rugsy Rugs, the man with the softest toots in the West.
Can I be that girl you met in the
We kick things off with Disclosure and Boss, and just there from her debut album, Wonder, that is Lisa Mitchell with Coin Laundry. Can you believe it's up to album number 3 now? And to tell us more about it, who better to get into this Triple J studio? Lisa Mitchell.
Hello.
Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
It's been a while. How are you?
I'm really good. Yeah. How are you guys?
Yeah, great, great. Not as good as you and your cat looking after abilities, though. What have you been doing?
Well, yeah, I've been hanging out in Paris a little bit. A friend of mine has a cat that, yeah, needs looking after sometimes. So.
And there's no one fit for the job in Paris.
No, I just have to fly from Australia or London. Or...
What a terrible reason to have to go to in beautiful country.
I
Paris.
Know, it sounds really
in
trivial.
France, okay. Enjoying good times. You've been writing music while you've been in Paris?
Yes, I've been writing and, yeah, getting the new album together. So very exciting.
Any cat-based songs?
So embarrassing. I did, because his name's Avedon, because
wow.
My friend Carla Coulson, she's a photographer, and so she's obsessed with photographers, so Avedon's his favorite, famous photographer. Anyway, so the cat's called Avedon, and I wrote this song for Avedon in a bonding moment with the cat.
The cat was sitting there. It's often embarrassing to play it in front of the person it's written for. I understand.
Look, it was a bit of a crazy cat lady.
How are you bonding? How are you bonding with the cat?
Just playing it.
What was the moment that you felt pure love for this?
Well, he's quite like a skittish cat. You know what I mean? Some of them like snuggle and some don't, and it doesn't snuggle. And so it kind of would, you know, get closer and closer to me. And yeah, I just found as soon as I started playing music and it kind of liked that.
Sure.
Lisa Mitchell.
I need some advice from you.
Cat whisperer.
We had cats staying in our place for a little while.
Okay.
For whatever reason. Don't tell my landlord.
All right.
But they were there for a few weeks.
Yeah.
They were awful. They would get up on the bench and eat through a bag of bread, through the plastic, and start eating the bread and to eat every piece. How do I stop that from happening?
I'll definitely sing to it. That will help.
Sing to the cat.
Don't eat my bread, cat.
I don't know. It sounds like rat behavior.
It is a bit, isn't it?
Befitting of a rat dog.
Quite a small cat. With a long, sort of skinny tail.
Cat rat.
No, maybe it was. Anyway, we're going to get on to your music, which is the most important thing to talk about here this morning, because we're going to play a song from you for the very first time, a song called The Boys. Now, can you tell us a little bit about, this song and the way you wrote it and the way you came about writing your new album?
Yeah, so The Boys was about a day that I had driving around with some friends in Sydney, and it was just this, I don't know, kind of one of those ordinary days that struck me as quite inspiring, I guess, because I grew up, I don't know, I don't have a brother. So I'm always kind of fascinated by like the world of boys hanging out. And so I happen to be the only girl driving around the beaches and I don't know.
What do boys do when we hang out without girls?
I don't
girls?
Know. I thought they'd be more like tough and stuff. But they weren't. They were really chilled and they were so nice to each other. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
When was this? Was this recently or was this a while ago?
A year ago or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, but the boys kind of came out of that. And it comes out really soon.
Do you find getting inspired those moments? Because I remember talking to you last time, something that's really stuck with me. I think you were driving around realizing that... It's okay to be not okay. And one of your songs from the last album came out about that. Is there something about driving around and staring out the window and just pondering life
that really gets you? Definitely. Yeah, I obviously like driving around. I don't know. Yeah, because Waha was, I remember, feeling very inspired when I was driving around with my family. I don't know. I think it's something about the movement, seeing, the beach or the forest going by.
You talk about it as a whole kind of day and a general experience. What was the light bulb moment in which you decided, where it just clicked and you went, I'm going to write this song about this?
I think it was just because it was so simple. Like, we were just driving around. We went to Salty Rooster, not that I ate meat, but, like this famous kind of place to buy burgers and stuff, and we're just listening to like our favorite bands, and I don't know, I was kind of like, I just love doing this, it's great. And just felt like I was just like a fly on the wall watching these guys hang out with each other, and one of their dads had just passed away, so they kind of wanted to all just get around him and just hang out. And it was kind of one of those special moments where I kind of felt like I shouldn't really be there, but I was. And Yeah.
Why did you feel like you we shouldn't have been there?
Because I don't know. I just felt like, you know, they're all mates.
And you got girl germs.
Yeah, totally. I have girl germs. And I don't know. But anyway, they're very kind and let me into their little world.
And it's so great of you to let us into yours as well. Summing up the moment in this song, The Boys. We're going to play it for the very first time here on Triple J. How many people would have heard this song before, do you reckon, Lisa?
Oh, like a handful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, you're part of Exclusive Club now, listening to Triple J this morning. Matt and Alex hanging out with Lisa Mitchell. This is their song, The Boys, for the very first time on Triple J this morning. And we'll ask you about what it's going to be included on potentially, because we're going to need a bit more detail on your upcoming album, Lisa. So here it is. Let us know what you think. 0439757555.
Matt and Alex with you. It's Tuesday, 17 minutes past 8, Triple J. There it is. Brand new music from Lisa Mitchell. It's called The Boys on Triple J this morning. Matt and Alex, your Brekkie Boys, joined by Lisa Mitchell in the studio. Thank you so much for letting us play that song.
Thank you.
It was truly beautiful. Loved
Thanks,
it.
Man.
Really,
Thank
really
you.
Liked it. And a lot of the people on the text line enjoyed it as well. So many great texts coming in on 0439757555.
Ready for these, Lisa?
Okay.
Nicole from Brisbane. This song is absolutely beautiful. Just arrived at work and I'm sitting in my car being embraced by such a wonderful voice. Tim from Burrellan says, yeah, The Boys, so. Such a gorgeous song. Might only be winter now, but I can definitely feel this will be my summer jam. Beck from Sydney, simply gorgeous. Elise from Melbourne, I've missed this dreamy Lisa Mitchell sound. Love it. It's very nice.
I can picture myself in the car as well. I really like that.
Good.
I felt like I wanted to be in a car right now driving along. And I feel like it's one of those tracks where everyone would stop talking and just kind of find their own place in the in the car along a road trip or something. It's really great.
Thanks, Matt.
I have a question. You keep singing, I think that I'm beginning to care. Care about what?
Like a cute boy in the car.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was a moment where you saw him for a softer side to him.
Yeah, I think so. I guess like it is a little bit abstract as well. Like, you know, I think that I'm beginning to care. I think, I don't know, it was a little bit broader too, like just in terms of, I think it's really easy to just kind of, you know, shut yourself down a little bit, but I think it's scarier to care about anything.
Sure.
So it was kind of a little bit broader like that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, very nice. And how does it sit in with the rest of the new music you're writing? Because you've got an album on the way.
A whole album, yeah. So it's it's coming out in October, and it's the rest of the album's definitely in keeping with this song. So it's like modern pop, some electronic elements to it as well. Still very much coming from my personal, I don't know, songwriting.
For sure.
Any recurring theme?
A lot of the songs were influenced by me kind of looking back at my childhood. I'm a little bit obsessed with my childhood. I had a really beautiful childhood, and I grew up in Albury, New South Wales, kind of in the country. So I don't know. I think I'm 26 now, and I think I don't know. I find myself looking back a lot to kind of remember who I am and what I want to do here on planet Earth. And I think too, like I started doing music very young, so I'm always kind of a little bit obsessed with who I was before I started doing music.
Right, yeah.
Not that that's right or wrong to kind of think about that, but I just think it's interesting, when you were 15, like who did you pin up on your inspiration boards, and like who did you cut out of magazines, and who were you listening to, and just all of these things that I find so interesting.
Who did you do
and
that
then
to?
Suddenly who am I now, because you're at an age where the people you're pinning up were,
totally.
Your age, and so
totally.
Sort of the sense of self is really coming to the fore. What about last album? There's quite a few anthemic songs as well. Isn't this The Boys sounding there a bit of down tempo and chill? Is that going to be the vibe for this particular album?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of songs that are like based around stories and memories, and there are some love songs as well that are a little bit more stripped back and just me playing guitar and more of a live take. And but a lot of it, I produced it, Eric J produced it, and he's got such a wonderful kind of like sensibility with pop and making things modern.
He's worked with some big Australian artists, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I first noticed him when he worked with Flume and Chet Faker. So, yeah, I was keen to, meet him and see what it would be like. And we recorded a song together and ended up, I just was like, oh, this is a great fit. And I think we're really contrasted. Like, I'm kind of a little bit more interested in, like, I don't know, old school songwriting and you know, like 70s style. And then he's so interested in right now, like what's happening, what's, you know, what's doing really well, like what are the kids loving, like, you know, what is just really fun and pop. And so I think together...
Interesting to see what Flume and Chet Faker and Lisa Mitchell would come up with. Feel free to sing over the top of this, Lisa. Just give us a call.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, I cannot wait for that collab.
Totally.
That'll be awesome. Well, people are loving the tune. Tara from Melbourne has got in touch as well. Morning to you, Tara. What did you think of Lisa Mitchell's new song?
Oh, Lisa, it's so good. I texted him and said it's better than having morning sex listening to that this
morning.
Wow.
Whoa. Big call. That's awesome.
All right.
Fair enough, wow. Tara. Are you keen for the album in October?
I'm so keen for it. I haven't heard a whole lot of your music, but I'm super excited. What I heard this morning was Ace. Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. Keep it coming.
Thank
oh,
you.
Awesome. And do we have a name for the album as well, Lisa?
The album's called Warriors.
Yeah. Warriors?
Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
As in worrying a lot? People
Warriors.
Worry?
No.
Okay. No, I just wanted to... I wasn't sure.
No, it's true. We've got to clarify it. No, I'm talking like bow and arrow warriors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. All right, we cannot wait for it. And thank you once again for coming in this morning to play us the... First taste of Warriors from Lisa Mitchell coming out in October. The song The Boys, I'm sure we'll be hearing it again very, very soon. Have a great day, Lisa.
Thanks, guys.
What are you up to the rest of the day? Going to go for a drive?
Go for a drive, listen to some tunes.
Look after some cats.
Exactly.
Oh, all awesome.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Lisa.
Breakfast with Matt and Alex on Triple J.